At this time, Sandy's going to come forward, and we're going to be talking about generational curses and breaking those.
But first, I just want to say that, I mean, this is beautiful. When I can discern God's moods a lot, and he is just so tender with us today. So, because I knew this is a history-making day. What I mean by that, we're making legal decrees and breaking things that Satan legally held against us. When I filled out the forgiveness paper, I actually wrote out a transaction. I, Sandy Wall, forgive myself. I choose this day to forgive myself. And I named, you know, I have found that one of the biggest, I can forgive people so much quicker than I can forgive myself. So this day, I, Sandy Wall, have chosen to forgive myself. And it's legal.
This day, I choose to forgive myself.
One of my definitions of spiritual maturity is you repent quicker and you forgive quicker. So it's just no questions. Repent, forgive. I'm going to give you an overview of five types of curses before I get into the generational curses. And I didn't realize the Lord was preparing me for these teachings. This spring, the Lord led me to, even before Robert Henderson came or Chuck Pierce, in 2010, Flora and I spent a week of intensive training all day and all night with Bill Suddeth and Ram Ministries, which is Righteous Acts Ministries, on learning all this. So I just want to tell you up front, I'm still learning. I choose to be a lifelong learner. I want to go to my grave learning. So I don't know it all, but I'm willing to help you and to know what, you know, I don't know in half an hour it's just so vast and I'm still learning, but I'm willing to help anybody across this region. And you guys know me, I go to everything. So just find me. I'll help you with what I know, what worked for me, what my mother is here. And since, it's such an example of a generational blessing because I think the greatest legacy that I have from my mother is my life of prayer and intercession. So that is an example of a generational blessing. And we have been on this journey of breaking generational issues in our bloodline and identifying them. But it's been, I'll just tell you up front, when you begin to do this, it feels awkward. It's uncomfortable. I, over and over, I say, even when I've done transactions with more than just my mother, I say, Holy Spirit, I really don't know what I'm doing, but you do. So in everything with generational, follow Holy Spirit's lead. He will tell you. He will lead you. He will cause you to find things in your bloodline that you didn't even know were there. And then you can begin to break them. But I'm going to give you a quick overview of five types of curses. Curses that result from the consequences of our own personal sin. That's where you sin and Satan can gain a foothold. You've left an open door. In Deuteronomy 28:15, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Jeremiah 11:3 said, "Cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant." It's a, you know, sin is missing the mark. It's like stealing a car. But iniquity is different from just a sin. Iniquity is a weakness or a propensity to steal say I used example stealing a car. It gets in your bloodline and you see things generation after generation. You start seeing the same patterns and the same things. Word curse is spoken over us by ourselves or by others. You know, sometimes we're the best people to curse ourselves. You know, just normal conversation. But sometimes it's by a loved one. What I do often is just plead the blood of Jesus over any curses, any witchcraft prayers, which is just anything spoken contrary to the word of God. And I speak crop failure to them. You know, they won't bear fruit. They won't. And I plead the blood of Jesus and just diffuse them, annihilate, obliterate them, vaporize them. Curses inherited from our forefathers and foremothers due to their sins. That's an inherited curse or a generational curse, which I'll get into in a minute. Number four is curses brought on by a judgment due to a broken vow to God or man. It's covenant breaking. For example, in Joshua 9, Joshua is tricked into making a covenant with the Gibeonites. Verse 19, it says, "Then all the rulers said to the congregation, 'We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them.'" So even though he was tricked, he made a vow and said, "We can't touch them." Then in 2 Samuel 21, 1 and 2, there was a famine for 3 years. They were cursed. In the days of David, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, "It is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites." David called for the Gibeonites, and then he made restitution. And number five is curses placed on you by someone who practices witchcraft and sorcery. It can be objects, statues. You know, we've all heard of people who bring things from overseas not knowing, and then they all of a sudden have sickness, or they're dealing with nightmares or terrors. And sometimes you bring home, even... my daughter went to China one time and brought home a jade Buddha, not knowing, I mean, and it's a point of contact for the demonic. So you just have to get rid of it. So pray through your house, clear out the home of anything the Lord shows you that's demonic. Mom, come up here real quick and just be brief and share that dream. Now, ask Holy Spirit. He will show you anything in your house that you need to do a spiritual house cleaning of. He'll show you what's in your house or in your office, anything that you might have that might be a point of contact for the demonic. My mom had a dream where Holy Spirit actually showed her.
Good morning. This was a couple years ago, but I had a dream that... I had gotten up one morning, and there was a man in our guest bedroom. He was all dressed in black, so I knew he was evil, but he acted very friendly. And I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Oh, I've been here the last 3 nights." And I said, "How did you get in?" He said, "Well, the front door was unlocked." So that was my first clue. So I asked the Holy Spirit where we had left a door open. And the Holy Spirit showed me that 2 or 3 days before that, one of our neighbors had insisted on giving us this little Indian object from South America. So he took me right to it. So I repented, and I told my husband about it. And so he immediately says, "Well, I'll take care of this." And he took it outside and put it in the burn barrel and lit the fire. So, you know, we have to be so careful what we bring into our homes.
We have to be so careful what we bring into this home, too. So ask Holy Spirit to show you anything that's a point of contact for the demonic. Now, an inherited curse or a generational curse, it's a curse inherited from our forefathers and foremothers due to unrepented sin. See, it opens the door to the enemy to get into our bloodline. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. See, iniquity can be passed down, or a weakness in an area, propensity for something, generation after generation. Nehemiah 1:6 said, let your ear now be attentive, and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. Then in Nehemiah 9:2, he says, the descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And so, and when Chuck Pierce came in June, I'm quoting him directly. If you don't deal with sin, it gets twisted. And if it's undealt with long enough, it gets twisted in your bloodlines. It becomes, one of the words is Wicca, with where we get wicker, where the twisted, it actually gets in your bloodline and twists. Exodus 24 and 5, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Then the Lord passed in front of Moses in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And he said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Well, good news. All you have to do, the blood of Jesus is our greatest weapon. Just repent. Forgive our forefathers. We're going to do that today. We're going to make a transaction. We're going to repent and renounce. And then I'm going to release a generational blessing over us. All families have three basic types of traits or characteristics that are passed down from generation to generation. You know, some of it's the obvious. Everyone in my family has blonde hair, you know. Blonde hair, blue eyes, you just see it. Physical traits, generation. You can be the spitting image of your parents. One is the soulish traits, and that's where we get the generational iniquity can get in. That's likes, dislikes, attitudes, mannerisms. There's positive traits. How many of you know somebody can be really have a gift of hospitality, and their mother had the gift of hospitality, or some, I mean, you can just see it. Some people, they're a great interior design. You know what I mean by that? You're just, it seems like everything in their house looks like from Better Homes and Gardens or something. But their mother was like that. There's good blessings, is what I'm saying, that are passed down. But there also can be negative traits. Racism, prejudice, depression, divorce, alcoholism, drug addiction, where you find generation after generation, history repeating itself, that's usually a generational curse. So that's where we break the cycle so that the next generation doesn't have to deal with it. They can be free, and every generation freer than the one before it. So we shut the doors. How many of you know, when somebody goes to jail for abusing somebody, it's you'll find out through the trial that they've been abused and that their father was abused. And it's just, that's a generational curse. And one thing that I liked, I just always think now, Bill Suddeth, I just came back from 2 weeks ago from a deliverance ministers conference out at Gloria Zion before Head of the Year. And one of the things he reminded us, anytime you hear, that's genetic, that's a generational curse. Think about it. That's genetic, really. So, and then you can also have spiritual traits that are inherited, you know, like that's just, your mother was a Catholic, you're a Catholic, the whole family's been a Catholic since they came back from the mother country. You know what I mean? So just as these generational traits are handed down, so are the effects of curses. And because the actions of our forefathers and the lack of true repentance, we're left to deal with the effects of the curse. And I just want to mention family spirit or a familial spirit. It's something found in your family line. It can be genetic, pertaining to or a characteristic of your family, appearing in individuals by heredity, and it can move from generation to generation. For example, like incest, cancer, alcoholism, adultery, lust, fornication, perversion, molestation. It feeds on certain behaviors because the door was left open, and it can move from generation to generation. And it can also manifest differently. What I mean by that, my family has been the greatest example I probably could give you for a couple of things. As far as I know, my great-grandfather was an alcoholic. Not only was he an alcoholic, he was committed multiple adult, you know, committed acts of adultery. My grandfather, that I do remember, I guess he was an alcoholic, only came home long enough to get my grandmother pregnant, then would leave again. And then in my father's family, I think we figured out that six of the eight kids, they've all of them committed adultery, and all of them are alcohol. Many of them are alcoholics. Now get to my brothers. Two of them are admitted alcoholics and do no longer drink because of circumstances. And one watch it, but it manifests differently in this. There's been food addictions. You know, addiction is addiction. All of them smoke cigarettes. I mean, so what I'm telling you is it can manifest differently, but addiction is addiction. Perversion is perversion. Whether it's pornography, adultery, or it's, you understand, right? You can see it. Track. And I just mentioned this, familiar spirits. So there's familial spirits or a family spirit, and then there's familiar spirits, which is usually with the occult. It's like a spirit guide, a demon assigned to you. So I just wanted to differentiate that for you. Frequently encountered generational spirits is rejection. That where it's a lot of times manifests in some type of abuse. The abusers have been abused. And depression and anxiety. How many know whole families that seem, my mother had battled depression. Now this one battles bipolar. Lust affairs, covenant breaking. Forefathers involved in witchcraft practices like astrology or palm reading, and addiction, which I already talked about, that manifests in many forms. Overspending, gambling, food. Let's call a spade a spade. Addiction's addiction. So take inventory of the issues. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I'll help anybody do, lead you to books, whatever. I'm not an expert, but I will help you. The Lord just helps me. You find your way. Holy Spirit's my best guide. He just leads me to something. I hear something. I read something. I do. And I, like I said, my mother and I over and over, or I've done it right here on the altar in June for the entire territory. We made a transaction during 24-hour tongues. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. This feels awkward. It's uncomfortable. And we just began repenting and we found our way. So don't think you have to like be fluent. Do you know what I'm saying? Be fluent and you just start. And you just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I want to lead you in a generational iniquity prayer. But I'm trying to think of the best way to do it. It's two pages. I know it's long, but it's so thorough, I couldn't leave anything out. If you want, you don't have to even take it. You could just hold your book if you want to read, if you don't want to take it out of your notebook. Flora, what's the best way? Do you like them to stand? Should we stand? Okay, stand. Because you're making a legal decree. We're getting rid of these things. And let me just say this. As we're doing this, and it's very thorough, but as Holy Spirit will start showing, you'll start looking at your own. I would encourage you to get a prayer partner, a family friend, or your somebody in your, like you guys could do it, you know what I mean, in your family that actually can identify, oh yeah, and start going back generationally.
This is like generic. This is covering a lot of different things. But as Sandy says, you really want to go and seek the Lord and really find out if there's anything specifically that you need to repent of for the forefathers. What we're doing is we're getting things out of the way. This is what's happening. These things can stand in the way of God being able to bless us. So we're clearing the runway so God's blessings can come not only to us, but for our descendants. For our descendants.
And while I was at this conference, too, I really, my mom and I were there, and we left there. We could not believe the results of Freemasonry, what Freemasonry in your bloodline can do, more than what we thought. I mean, so like what we're doing is rooting out. So you just begin to root out, ask Holy Spirit. Like when I started, I just made a list of the known things that I knew in my bloodline and began to repent, forgive, and break, renounce, and say, you're not going, the buck stops here. You no longer can reproduce yourself in the next generation. So does everybody have the generational iniquity prayer? It's two pages. We'll just read it together. Ready? One, two, three. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. I confess that I and my ancestors have sinned and have done evil in your sight. Thank you, Father, for sending your only Son, Jesus, to die in my place, to pay the penalty for my sins, through his shed blood and to bear the punishment for the sins and iniquities of my ancestors in his bruised, broken body on the cross. Thank you that he is my holy scapegoat. I choose now to confess and take accountability for the sins of my parents back to the fourth generation and to the tenth generation for sexual sins. I confess sexual sins through my family line, known and unknown, fornication, adultery, obsessions, perversions. I confess the destruction of marriage through divorce. I confess all ungodly thoughts and negative emotions that have had an ill effect on my family line and on my marriage, pride, anger, arrogance, violence, fear, bitterness, resentment, and shame, ungodly domination and control, hatred of women and despising of men. I confess the operation of rejection in my family line in whatever form, especially that which is now affecting me, my marriage, and my family. I confess the effects of guilt, feelings of guilt, false guilt in the family line, fear and the feelings of needing to be punished or blamed. I confess all mental illness in my family line, anxiety, depression, phobias and obsessions, schizophrenia and manic depression. I confess addictions in my family line to alcohol, nicotine, shopping, food, and all other false comfort for pain. I confess and speak out all untimely death in my family, a death in the womb, early death, sudden and traumatic death, suicide, murder, and death from war. I confess unresolved grief from those deaths and from the expectation of death. I confess the effects of war on my family. I confess all religious restrictions and constrictions, either from a Christian denomination or church, or from different religious or occult involvement. the New Age movement, Freemasonry, Mormons, religious science, Hinduism, yoga, gurus, Hare Krishna. I confess all involvement in tampering with occult power and the hidden things of darkness, astrology, channeling, crystal balls, ESP, handwriting analysis, horoscopes, mediums, seances, tarot cards, hypnosis, acupuncture. I recognize that supernatural knowledge and power not coming from God is sinful. I confess where the fathers in my family line have not taught the children the ways of God. I confess and recognize ungodly attitudes and involvement in my cultural background. I confess all hereditary illnesses and weakness in my family line. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, repenting of these sins in my family lines. I release my ancestors into the freedom of my forgiveness. No longer will I blame them for who I am. I confess and take accountability for my own sins in these areas. I repent and turn from them and ask you to forgive and cleanse me with the precious blood of Jesus. I place the cross of Christ between me and any negative generational flow and lay the punishment and inherited weaknesses on Jesus, my scapegoat. I now renounce every generational sin and break the power of this iniquity off my bloodline through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. I believe that Jesus took every curse and sin upon himself at the cross. So I ask you, Father, to release me from every curse and generational sin over my life in the name of Jesus Christ. I release myself and all generations from me forward from their effects. Please heal me, renew me, and lead me in your way, Lord Jesus, and place me into the generational flow of your kingdom. By faith, I receive my freedom, and thank you for it. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for your sacrifice so that I might walk in your blessings. Amen. Woo! Let's give the Lord a shout. Woo-hoo! You guys look good, looking a little freer. All right, now what I want you to do. Also at this conference by Selwyn Stevens, I'm going to release a generational blessing. And I could have wrote one, but this I couldn't say this any better. And he's the guy that wrote most of the Freemasonry prayers that we renounce and go through. So I'm going to read this. And I want you to actually have your hands up and receive this generational blessing. And we is in all of us. We are in agreement. We bless your adult identity and your destiny in this world. May you discover and fulfill the purpose for which God sent you to this earth. May you meet and marry God's perfect choice as a life partner. We bless your relationships, that God would lead you to those who can mentor you, as well as to those who need to receive from you what you have given. May you never be without meaningful friendships. We bless your marriage. What God has joined together, may no one ever separate. We bless your children, that the generational blessing upon your family line would be passed on to them. May each child provide breadth and depth to your own life experience. May each one share your values in life and experience a personal walk with God. We bless the work of your hands, that your industry and labor will bring the abundance necessary to provide for your family and to sow into others' lives. We bless your finances, that you may never have to get by without God's supply. May you always discern and obey the requirements for financial blessing. May you live securely without need or fear or want. We bless your health, that you may physically prosper and not succumb to sickness. May you prosper physically even as your soul prospers. We bless your Christian witness, that you would carry with you the fragrance of Christ in all that you do. May your character and lifestyle be a witness to the truth of God's promises. May you have many opportunities to share your personal faith and bear much fruit as you continue to abide in the vine. We bless your senior years, that you may maintain a place of significance and purpose in this world. May you be confident in knowing that you are needed and wanted by those of us who follow after you. We bless your life's work. May you receive appropriate honor for your years of labor. May your contribution to the kingdom of God on the earth be recognized and blessed. We bless your health, that your strength will match the length of your days. We bless your relationship with your children, that they may rise up and call you blessed. As you become less able to look after your own needs, may they be more available to care for you. We bless your life transition from working in the fields to sitting in the gates. May you be sought out for wisdom and counsel so that your hard-earned insights will benefit many in the years and generations to come. And all God's people said, amen, and we receive it.
And the Lord said, when you bless, he blesses. So we have received a blessing through Sandy from the Lord. So it is God's blessing that's on us. So now we want to bless the food so we can go and eat. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, for your presence here today. We thank you for all that you're doing, all that you're imparting. We thank you that the love that we are feeling and receiving today, we thank you for the blessing that you've imparted to us today. We pray your blessing on the food. We pray your blessing on all those that have prepared it, all those that are working hard to serve it. And we pray your blessing right now on your people as they fellowship together in the name of Jesus. Amen.